Today is Friday, March 30, and I'm Chris Jones, and I will be interviewing Bernadette Bagley. And we are doing this at Millersville University, Pennsylvania. Would you like to start out by telling me what is your full name?
Bernadette Elaine Bagley.
Okay. Do you mind telling me your birth date, including the year?
May 29th, 1986.
Okay. How long have you been at Millersville University?
I'm finishing up my third year.
Okay. What is your major?
Art.
How did you get to MU?
My friend told me about it. Wait, should they be like driving or?
Okay. How did you hear about the opportunities and majors how did you hear about the positions or the major that you wanted to do?
Well, when I was in art in 12th grade, a friend of mine came from Millersville and he was showing me his portfolio, and I was really interested in their art program here.
Okay. What obstacles or opportunities did you face in the terms of a day-to-day in performing in school or in your academic? Obstacles or opportunities.
Well, I don't get much financial aid, but my mom she's disabled. She can't work, and my dad was just diagnosed with cancer, so he's on disability now. But we don't get that much financial aid because they say that we make too much. So I have to work and support myself for the most part, and I live off campus. So it's kind of hard to pay my rent and buy books and stuff.
Okay. What are your perceptions of problems you encountered with students or professors or faculty, et cetera?
I haven't had a lot of problems, really.
Okay. What are your perceptions of possibilities of moving up in your major as well as in your career as when you graduate? It can be from graduate school and so on.
Well, after I graduate, I'm going to try to get a job doing graphic design. So hopefully I can get a job in that career track.
Is this the only major you have or?
Yeah.
Okay. What does your major involve?
Everything art related, basically. Photography, painting, drawing, sculpture, stuff like that. But I wanted to focus on painting and drawing.
What was a typical day for you to be like at Millersville University from when you wake up until you go to bed, including social life, school, job, whatever, as everything you do?
Well, I wake up, get dressed, go to class. Usually I come back in time to get something to eat, and then I have to go back to class, come back, do some work, like if I'm drawing or writing papers, because I have a couple of those due soon. So then I do that, and then I got to work at 7, and then I get off of work at 11 o'clock, and come home, shower, go to bed.
Is there any activities you do or anything besides work that you may do?
No. I thought of joining a sorority, but I think it would be too much for me to handle.
Okay. Are there many other women in the same major at Millersville University, African-American or African-American women in your major?
I don't know too many. I think I might know two. Maybe three.
Well, why do you think that there are not that many women in a similar major as you at Millersville University, African-American or African-American women?
Well, I guess people would come here to become teachers or nurses. And so what I'm doing is probably not the norm, you know what I mean? Because I went to a store one time, and this guy, he was trying to guess what my roommate and my major was. And he the first guess was nursing, and his second was teaching, and his third was, like, psychology. And I was like, nope, I'm in art.
Do you think that a social role kind of played with this because that you were a woman? Do you think you kind of, like, stereotyped
yeah,
you?
Yeah, definitely.
How did that make you feel?
I just looked at him like, why would you automatically assume that I'm going to be a nurse? Because then he told us that he actually was here and he studied people, basically. And so I think that maybe he should choose a different line of work.
Do you remember his name?
No.
Okay. Do you think, do you think your race, gender, or both affect how you are treated at Millersville University, or through your major, or throughout any social or academic life?
In a way, I guess. At work, I know that the boys, they usually get away with more while the girls are working a little bit harder. And I especially work hard.
Any examples or stories you'd like to share?
Well, some guys will, like, they'll slack off or whatever, and I end up doing what they're supposed to be doing, or my boss will look to me as an example to, like, get people to do what they are supposed to be doing.
Is your boss a man, a male?
Yeah.
Is there any other women that feel the same way?
Oh, yeah. Pretty much all the females that work at my job.
How would you describe the climate at Millersville for women, African Americans, African American women? How would you describe the, you know, environment?
I guess it's an okay environment. I mean,
as for being a woman here, like, how do you feel, like, that it does it fit in with, like, everything? Like, you know, do you feel comfortable?
Yeah, I feel comfortable for the most part. Yeah.
What about for African American women? Like, just being African-American on this campus, like, the climate, how's it, like, from where are you from here, you mean, to here?
Oh, from, like, my hometown in Millersville?
Like, yeah, how's it feel to be here? Like, how's the climate feel, the adjustment?
It's not that different, actually, because where I grew up, like, it was a predominantly black neighborhood, but then in high school, there were a lot of different races, so it's kind of the same here. I guess I kind of feel like the black population is a little standoffish, if you will.
What do you mean by standoffish?
I don't really, like, hang out with a lot of them, and it's, like, they're just not, you know, friendly or whatever, to me, at least, and to, like, other people, I guess.
Do you know, like, do you have a reason, or do you ever wonder why, or do you ever think why, or come to a conclusion?
Well, I think maybe because most of them knew each other before they even came to the school, so it might be part of that. But then again, I don't go out of my way to, like, make friends with every black person in the world.
For being an African American woman, like, how does that feel to be up here too?
It's fine, I mean.
Okay, what were the most rewarding and satisfying aspects of being a student with your major? And
Well, I'm definitely learning a lot more about art than I thought I would. Like artists and styles of painting, art history, all of that. I've definitely grown in my ability, because I was skilled at making art or whatever, but I wasn't that great. And now I know the technical aspects. I know like the artists that I can look at, that I can model, and so yeah, I think I've grown in that way.
What were the least rewarding or satisfying aspects of your major or being a student?
I guess it's hard to get into the classes that I want, because even though I wanted to focus on painting, I've only been able to get into a watercolor class, which I wasn't really that interested in, because I prefer acrylics and oil paintings. And that class is always filled up on probably the first day of registration, so it's been hard to get into that class.
Okay. How would you say your experience at Millersville affected you in the short term and the long term? Or so far, how's it affecting you now? And then how do you think it will affect them long term, as, you know, being, remember again that you're, you know, African woman, American woman here in this university, how do you think that will make you feel, like, short term? And then after you graduate, how does that make you, like, you know, experience it? So from being where you came from to come here and do the things that you have done, and how does that affect you now? Like, how does that make you feel? Like, that you must feel something.
Short term, I think that I've had a pretty good experience here. I've made good friends, I've learned a lot, and hopefully I'll be graduating soon. In the long term, I'll be hoping to get a good job so that I can support myself and a family in the future.
Were your supervisor, peers, or those you supervised, women? Were your supervisors, peers, or those you supervised, African-American women? Were your supervisors, peers, or those you supervised, women, African-American or African-American women?
No. My supervisors have all been, like, white, male, or females.
Okay, what about your professors? And, yeah, professors.
I had one professor, Dr. Chukwu, for my African history class. But I think, yeah, that's the only black teacher I've ever had here.
How would you describe your relationship at Millersville with your supervisor or with your professor, if you'd like to start with your supervisor first?
My supervisors, we have a pretty good relationship. Every now and then it'll get a little tense, because sometimes I feel like he's putting too much pressure on us. And with my teachers, We have good relationships for the most part.
Okay. What about peers?
Do they have to be African American?
Any
or is it from my perspective?
Whatever your perspective. It's all about you.
Well, all the people that I know, I'm good friends with them. Like, we never have major issues or anything like that, whether I'm black or not, whether I'm female or not.
Have you ever felt uncomfortable at Millersville or unsafe? Please explain.
Yeah, I just came from the class that I feel most uncomfortable in. It's a U.S. social history class, and the professor is a white man, and we're talking about slavery back in the 1800s, and it's uncomfortable.
Slavery in America?
Yeah. Okay. Like when it started, the laws, how people were reacting to them then, and it's uncomfortable because I feel like everybody's looking at me, you know what I mean? Because I'm the only black person in the class. And every now and then I'll catch a glance my way when he says something that may or may not be offensive.
Could you give me, like, real specific details, if you don't mind, like, an example or a story or, like, specific time this happened, but, like, what he happened and what he said and reaction?
We were talking about a court case. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was about property rights, because that's how slaves were treated, was they were property and they had no human rights. And it was like a conflict in the law, because in one aspect he was a slave, he had no rights, but in another aspect he was a slave, he was not a slave anymore. So he stayed with the family that owned him, and after the his owner died, he was technically a free man, but he decided to stay with them anyway. And so when they moved back to can I look it up? Okay, so, yeah. he was considered to be free in Illinois because that was a free state. But when they moved back to Missouri, that was not a free state. And so they said he was still considered a slave. And when the, it's the Dred Scott v. Sanford case. And the teacher, the professor, he asked if he was still, if he should have still been considered a property, or if he should have been considered a free man. And he, most of the class said that he should be considered free, but then there was like one or two people that said that he should have been, he should have still been considered property. So that made me a little uncomfortable.
And did they look at you when they said that?
Or yeah.
The people that said that he should have been property looked
there
at
was
you?
Like, there were sideways glances, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't want to look directly at me, and I didn't want to be directly looking around the classroom to, like, test people to see what they're going to say, so.
Is there any other times where this happened, and any other times that made you feel uncomfortable?
Well, one night when I was working, this couple came into the galley, and I told them that we were closed, and I told them about three times, and they just ignored me and kept walking, and I'm sure they heard me because I was very direct. I was right in front of them. And so without even looking at me, the guy says, well, can we get drinks? And I'm like, no, we're closed. And they got mad and left.
So Great. And they were white?
Yeah.
Anytime you felt unsafe, parties or social events where being an African American woman again made you feel that you were threatened or unsafe?
I wouldn't say that I've ever felt unsafe, but another uncomfortable moment was at a party very recently. They were playing a Kanye West Gold Digger song.
Was this a white party or?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, he says the N-word, mm-hmm. and I'm listening to the song, and it's unedited, and so I'm like, oh, boy, I need to not be in here, because if somebody says it, I'm going to be very offended, so.
And I guess you do take that really seriously when mm-hmm. you hear a white person say it.
Yes.
Do you use the word towards, like?
No. I don't, you know.
So you're against the N-word, that's good. What did Paul Mooney say? I forgot what he said. I was watching show and you were talking about the N-word, but he was the, I forgot what he said, but something like that. All right, where were you born? Tell me about your life growing up, being, you know, a black woman, an African-American, and just tell me about it.
Well, I was born in Bryn Mawr, but I was raised in West Philly until I was 5. I had a car accident when I was 4, and so I was in a body cast for about a year. And so that was pretty hard, you know, at such a young age to deal with something like that. They thought that first that I wouldn't make it, but I did. And then they also thought that my growth would be stunted, which it's not because I'm 5'11 now. And so that was something that I had to deal with. And in my neighborhood, it didn't start out very violent, but as time went on, it definitely progressed to where there was drugs everywhere, and people would come and sit on our steps and dirty up our property. And since I was young, I didn't know any better. I threw a bottle out the window and yelled at them to get off of my stoop. And my parents were so scared because they thought, you know, wow, he could have shot you. And yeah. And another time, actually, they were shooting outside, and a bullet came through the window, and we were out of that neighborhood within, like, a week after that.
And this is West Philly, right?
Yeah, West Philly.
And
Winfield.
Okay. All right, yeah.
And then we moved to Ardmore.
Oh, is that in Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania, yeah. And I went to Penn Valley Elementary School. It was very predominantly white.
Did that make you feel uncomfortable?
No, because I was a little girl, so I didn't really know better. Actually, there was a point in time where I wanted to be white because I wanted to have long hair. And so my mom told me, no, you should be proud of who you are. And so after that, I realized, no, I'm a black woman, and I'm happy to be one. And so after a few years in Ardmore, we moved to Yaden, which, Yaden, Pennsylvania, which when we moved there, I was 9. I can't remember the year that was, maybe like 1997 or so, maybe earlier than that. But it started out predominantly white. Everybody in my neighborhood was like old people. There were not really any kids. And as time went on, it became more African-American that lived there. And I guess that's because we live right outside of Southwest Philadelphia, which is like a 5-minute drive, if that. And so I see it as like some of that started to spill into the neighborhood because people were getting violent. Girls were having babies at young ages. There was drugs. There's not a local hangout, but like a street where they'll stay out all times of the night. I knew a few friends have gotten shot. A friend of mine, her brother was shot in the head. He died. There's a lot of drugs moving around there. People I know are in gangs. Even my little brother knows people in gangs. Like, there's a girl gang, and black people have their own gang, and then the African students have their own gang, and then there's turf wars from like Derby and Yaden and Lansdowne, so it's getting ridiculous. And one of my neighbors was even carjacked in front of her house, which is like two houses away from mine. And my house has been people have tried to break into my house on more than one occasion. So that's my neighborhood currently. And all the people I know, if they're not in college, they're either have a baby, or are in jail or doing drugs, so.
Anything else you'd like to share before you came here?
No. Not really.
Okay. That seems about good enough. Thank you and appreciate it. And all right. This is the end of part one, Oral History Project.